This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Allegro Non Troppo on the Community Radio Network, broadcasting from the 3JOY studios here in Melbourne. Today we are speaking with Peter Casey, Music Director of the National Boys Choir of Australia. Thank you, Peter, for taking the time to join us here on Allegro Non Troppo.
My pleasure.
Now, the National Boys Choir has been around for some time now. I understand it began in 1964.
Can you? Yeah, so it is some time, isn't it?
Yeah, just a few years. Can you tell us a bit about the beginnings of the choir?
I can indeed, because it was my father who started it, Mark. So my father, Kevin, started in 1964.
Lovely.
And it's been in some way in the hands of the family, plus a lot of other excellent musicians and helpers along the way since then. He started in his home.
Right.
I had a small group of about 20 to 30 boys over in the Chadstone and Murrumbina area.
Mm-hmm.
And it gradually expanded and eventually was bursting at the seams at home and went into other venues. And in the last 15 years or so, managed to buy its own premises as well. So it's gone from a very humble beginning to a fairly professional organisation.
I see. Now, you've yourself been the music director of the choir since 1987. What exactly does that job entail?
Well, in any small organisation, of course, a position of responsibility requires all sorts of skills. So there are now two people who are relatively full-time for the organisation. I'm one of those. So it involves everything from the waving your arms in front of the boys for various performances right through to all sorts of administrative work and auditions and all sorts of background chores that might be needed to keep the organisation humming along.
Right. Now, you did mention just briefly there, you share the role of music director with Philip Carmody. How do you both share the work? Is there some things that you each focus on, or is it pretty much a balanced effort?
Look, I suppose it's a great advantage of ours that we have two music directors, for the obvious reasons that if someone's ill, there's someone who can step in. But the boys constantly get the focus of two different people, and there's always someone conducting but someone else in the background listening and making comments and improving things as well. Philip's full-time. He's a director of music at Melbourne Grammar. So obviously that keeps him very busy, and he's head of the chapel choir there as well. So he has more limited time perhaps to do, the background and administrative work, but he's very much hands-on. We're both hands-on together when it comes to conducting the boys, developing the repertoire, working them up towards performance standard and so on. So it's a great tag team effort. It obviously requires a bit of humility on the part of both of us to let the other step in at various times, but we've had a long and valued partnership and it's worked very well.
Right. Now, I guess with 200 boys in the choir, there clearly must be other staff that assist in the overall running of the choir. Who are they?
There are indeed. We've got a wonderful accompanist, Robin Cochran, who teaches piano at Southwood Boys Grammar at the moment, and she's terrific.
Right.
We've got two training choirs with about 50 to 55 boys in each.
Yes.
So we have a couple of teachers who work with them, Alex Boemo and Ruth Tenace, who are both experienced teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Finnegan, who works with them as well, he's head of the junior school at St. Kevin's.
Right.
So they're the ones who have very much the hands on the up and coming youngsters who are heading for the performing choir. So it's a performing choir of about 120 to 130, and the two training choirs. And then we have a men's choir who come back to rehearse at Christmas time as well. So overall, it gets up towards the 300 mark once the men get rehearsing as well. So
Wow. A
fairly significant organisation to keep running, and we have a board and various others, a finance director and an administrative officer who is absolutely fantastic in all that she does. So a number of people who really contribute a lot.
Sure. Now, the choir facilitates a training regime for children as young as 7 or 8 years old. What happens when a boy joins a choir? Is there an audition process?
There's an audition process when they join, Mark. So I trip around to a lot of schools each year. We can't get around to every school in the Melbourne area and a little bit beyond that.
Yeah.
But I do trip around to a lot of schools, and various people ring us, of course, as well, looking for opportunities. But there's an initial audition, and then from there we have a group who are invited to a second audition. And at that stage they do another music audition and a bit of reading comprehension work as well because of all the words that they need to learn.
Yes.
And from there, we invite about 50 to 55 boys each year to join us for the first year of the training level the following year.
Right.
And hopefully from there they progress through a two-year training program before heading on to the performing level.
Excellent. And at what age would they finish up with the choir?
Well, they leave us when their voice changes.
Right.
And 20 years or so ago, that might have been 15 or 16 or even 17.
Yes.
We actually do have a couple of 16-year-olds with us at the moment, which these days is very rare. Voices are changing much earlier as children are maturing earlier.
Right.
So when their voice changes, it could range anywhere between 12 and 15 or 16, depending on what's happening with their maturity.
Yep.
But they do have an opportunity, once their voice changes, to come back and join us on a reasonably regular basis in our men's choir if they wish to.
Yeah. So the men's choir, what involvement do they have in the overall scheme of things?
The men come back to join us principally for our Christmas concert. This year we have about 65 young men singing with us, which is the envy of many choirs to have a young men's group of tenors and basses that are in that sort of number.
It's very rare to have that bigger group, yes.
It is at that age, yes. Yes, most men singers tend to be in an older age bracket.
Yes.
But we find it works well that once their voice changes, boys, of course, move on to all sorts of things. Their schooling's becoming more complex. There are all sorts of other social and other opportunities that are opening up to them, whether it be sport or instruments or whatever. And they find it quite difficult to commit on a weekly basis at that sort of age, leading into later secondary and early university years. But if they can come back for 9 or 10 weeks of fairly intensive work leading into a really major concert, they can enjoy the contact and enjoy the experience without having to commit for the entire year.
Sure. Now, I imagine the boys in the performing choir are involved in events all year round. What are some of the typical events that you do each year?
They certainly are involved in all sorts of things, and this year is a good example of the incredible variety of things we've done. We commissioned a brand new children's opera, a 45-minute children's opera from Melbourne composer Calvin Bowman,
yes,
to a libretto by John Marsden, the very famous children's author, and this was his first libretto. And we put that on in the Melbourne Recital Centre in July, so it was a brand new piece in a brand new venue, so it was a big undertaking. But while all that was going on, we also were involved in a new ad for Qantas. We've done four different series of I Still Call Australia Home commercials for Qantas, and this year we had another one sprung on us, which involved a lot more travel and filming and so on. Very exciting for the boys.
Yes.
We're also involved in André Rieu's Australian tour this year, with performances here in Melbourne and Sydney and Newcastle, and filming for a DVD as well.
Mm-hmm.
The grand finals, Socceroos games, a whole range of things, gala concerts for the Victorian Opera.
Yes.
And the boys quite regularly perform with the Melbourne Symphony or are selected by Opera Australia for children's roles as well. So
right.
It really covers the whole gamut from very classical things such as the opera and gala concerts right through to André Rieu and I Still Call Australia Home.
Certainly a full schedule.
Yes, indeed. Really quite exciting opportunities for boys as young as they are.
Yeah, I guess this is a particularly busy time of the year for most people, but more so for choirs with the various Christmas events that are on.
I think for any choir, whether they're a community choir or a church-based choir, this is a very busy time of the year with all sorts of services and activities and things going on, and that's certainly the case for us as well. We've been involved in Carols by Candlelight on television on Christmas Eve for over 20 years now. So we'll be there again on Christmas Eve from the Meyer Music Bowl, so we're working up to performances for that, and we've got a major Christmas concert of our own this coming Saturday as well.
Excellent. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo on the Community Radio Network, and we're chatting with Peter Casey from the National Boys Choir. Now, you mentioned it before, the National Boys Choir is probably most well known for its involvement in the Qantas ads, with the famous Peter Allen song, I Still Call Australia Home. I recall the first time I saw the most recent ad, in fact. I had tingles go up and down my spine. What do you think makes these ads so special?
Well, I think there are a number of factors, Mark. They've actually been voted the most successful Australian commercial of all time, which is surprising when you think that they've beaten off competition like, you know, Vegemite and aeroplane jelly and all sorts of other iconic advertisements.
Wow, yep.
But I think that these ones really tug at the heartstrings. For a start, there's the beautiful locations. and the children are in those locations. People always ask, did they really go to all those exotic places? And they certainly did. So they're real locations with real children in the locations rather than, you know, done with fancy television work and so on.
Yes.
They also involve real choristers rather than just, you know, a bunch of children that were gotten together. So it's the National Boys and Australian Girls Choirs, and the most recent one involves the Gondwana Indigenous Children's Choir as well.
Right.
So they're real children, they're real choristers in real locations singing, you know, a much-loved and iconic song. So I think all of those factors brought together add to the success of it.
So what type of preparation goes into these two-minute ads? I mean, I imagine that the with the diverse locations and the number of children, there's a lot that goes into logistics. Can you give us a bit of an idea of what goes on behind the scenes there?
Look, there certainly is, particularly the ones that have involved a lot of international travel. You know, as people say, we've shot in Africa, in Paris, in London, in Mexico, in the United States, all over the place,
yeah.
Hong Kong. So you can imagine China on the Great Wall. So you can imagine that, for a start, there's even the logistics of just getting everyone's passports together or getting all their visas and paperwork together. All of those sorts of things, getting the confidence of the parents that you're going to look after them well, yeah, and that they'll be safely looked after and safely returned to them.
Yes.
There are all those sorts of logistics before you even, you know, take one foot off the ground and start travelling. And then once you do travel, obviously there's a film crew that travels with us with lots of locals involved. There's the recording of the ad before we even leave. We usually do a rough cut of the song, so we've got something to work with while we're away and something to sing to, and then that's usually tidied up and gotten to its final stage after we get back. And, you know, there's an enormous amount of footage shot in all sorts of locations, and somehow the director manages to trim that down to suit the various ads that end up on the screen.
Right. Now, next Saturday, the choir is performing its Christmas concert at the Hamer Hall in Melbourne. What should we expect to hear at the concert?
We are at the Arts Centre on Saturday, and each year we do a major work of some sort in the first part of the program, and this year we've got a very bright and vibrant work. We're doing John Rutter's Gloria. That's with brass and percussion and organ.
Yes.
Very bright and lively and well-suited to Christmas. Quite challenging for the choir with all sorts of tricky rhythms and things in it, but a really vibrant piece for this time of the year. And the second half of the program, we turn over to a whole range of Christmas repertoire. So starting with some treble repertoire with just the boys, various Christmas things, some new and unusual carols as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we always finish the program with our men back in there, so a choir of, you know, 180, 190 or so, singing great favourites, you know, Once in Royal David City, The 12 Days of Christmas, The Hallelujah Chorus, Joy to the World, and so on. And that's all with orchestra as well, so about a 32-piece string and brass orchestra as well.
Right.
So, you know, terrific to hear those carols sung in a really full-on orchestral and large choir version, and very stirring leading into the Christmas week.
Indeed. You mentioned the Rutter's Gloria. It's one of the more prominent... Rutter is one of the more prominent composers of this day. What is it that you think he brings to choral music in this day?
Look, Rutter is very successful in large part because he writes a great tune, to put it very simply.
Yes.
He writes a very memorable melody. You only have to hear one of Rutter's things once and you think, gee, that's a lovely little tune, I like that. So he's very clever at finding, you know, just a lovely tune that people really enjoy on the first listening. The Gloria is slightly more challenging, but it also still has some lovely melodic things in there that people really immediately warm to. So he's got this knack of being able to write a lovely melody and music that people really immediately warm to, music that's very accessible and very tuneful.
Yes.
And he's been very successful. We've done a couple of workshops with him in England, and he's very bright and vibrant to work with, and he graciously accepted to be a patron of the choir, so it's great to be singing one of the more substantial works written by one of our choir patrons.
Now, it's interesting, I found that the majority of Rutter's work is actually of a sacred nature, yet Rutter himself has been quoted as saying that while he's quite spiritual, he isn't, in fact, religious. Why do you think he chooses to write sacred music?
Look, having been in England with John and in Cambridge, obviously he's very much surrounded by the tradition of English choral music, and he loves writing very pure sounding music, and he loves the sound of a boy's voice. He even gets his female singers in his choir to sing with a very straight, pure sound,
right?
Not an operatic, you know, sound with lots of vibrato. So he's surrounded by this English choral tradition. He's surrounded by opportunities to write for groups in England, and ultimately, you know, that's what pays his paycheck year in, year out, is the various groups that he's surrounded by in England and Europe that he has the opportunity to write for. So I think it's difficult in, you know, the scenario that he's in to really write for any other groups. He certainly writes for outside groups as well and does lots of commissions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he has this immediacy of groups all around him who sing choral and religious music on a regular basis that he can write for.
Right. So the National Boys Choir are performing next Saturday, the 19th of December, at the Hamer Hall in the Arts Centre here in Melbourne. Where can we book tickets if we'd like to attend?
Look, we'd love to see anybody there. It's a glorious occasion and lots of lovely music leading into Christmas. It's at 7:30 on Saturday the 19th. People can either book through the Arts Centre, either online at theartscentre.com.au, or their telephone number for their bookings is 1300 182 183.
Excellent. Thank you for speaking with us today, Peter. I hope the concert is a great success.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
That was Peter Casey, Music Director of the National Boys Choir of Australia. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo on the Community Radio Network, broadcasting from the 3JOY studios here in Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.